Is it started? Come on. Yes. Okay, great. So I want to do a lesson about being devoted to prayer. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. All right. This passage is so familiar that a lot of us could just quote it by memory, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. All right, so this is the situation right after the 3,000 were baptized, the church was formed, and I believe Acts 2, 42 through 47 is intended to be a paradigmatic scripture about the church. I know that's a big word, all right, paradigmatic. You all know what that means. It means it sort of sets the standard. It's the thing we are intended to look back to. This is what the church that Jesus died for is supposed to look like. And it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So I want to talk about this statement, which says, they devoted themselves to prayer. The word is whatever. We get the word prostrate. Okay? And so I want to ask a question. What do you think it would be like in our lives if we were, in quotes, devoted to prayer? What would that be like? This is when you make comments. What would it be like in your life or in the life of the church if we as a church and we as individuals were devoted to prayer? Go ahead, Chris, then Paul. Okay. Yeah, so sounds like what you're saying is a time of prayer and then continual prayer, that kind of the all day kind of thing, that continued awareness. Good. Paul.
For me, being devoted to prayer would slow things down so I could have what's most important on the forefront of my mind instead of just running around doing errands.
Okay, so I would call that being mindful. Mindfulness. That sounds kind of new agey, you know, mindful, woo, you know, like a bunch of Hindu stuff, but being mindful. So being devoted to prayer means a church made out of people who, for whom God is just on their mind. I don't know about you, but I struggle with that one. Okay, good. So the question is, what would it be like for us as a church, or for each of us individually, if we could say about ourselves that we are devoted to prayer? Any other thoughts? Yeah?
Our faith would be increased.
Absolutely. Yeah, because when you're talking to God a lot, it's like the woman who doesn't leave the guy alone, letting you know, knocking on his door, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
I think our mental health, you know, would be
Right.
It says being anxious about that, we
turn it over to God. Right. It says confess your sins to another and pray for each other so you might be healed. That's a physical healing, but I'm sure it's even more an emotional and a spiritual healing. Good. Other thoughts? Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Jan.
Well, I was thinking that we'd be sharing with each other that what we want people to pray for, and then when those prayers are answered, we'd be sharing, hey, I'm so grateful that you prayed for that because look what happened. It's better than I thought.
Yeah. That's the thing that I was thinking of. What Jan just said is, we'll be talking about our prayers all the time. All right? And hopefully a few of you could raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to and say, yeah, I think John mentioned that he was praying for me. All right? In fact, I pray for almost everybody in this room almost every day. Okay? Now, I'm not going to say I pray for everybody in this room every day. That would not be true. All right? And I don't do it with the membership list in front of me, so, you know, I space somebody out. You know what I'm saying? But I prayed for Chris this morning. You bet I did. I prayed for Celia this morning. All right, I several others. Okay, any other thoughts? I really want this thought to be kind of, you know, become a thought worm. You know, with like you have a song worm, like a thought worm. Be devoted to prayer. Yes, go ahead.
I think that through our prayers, as we pray for our family and friends who are lost, they would be answered because they would.
Right. We'd see some answered prayers and it would become a more common thing. It's not like we haven't had any answered prayers this year. We've had some big answered prayers this year. But how about twice as many answered prayers? I think you could do a mathematical equation, y equals f of x, which y is the number of answered prayers, is a function of the number of prayers, right? Math people? Y equals f of x. I don't know what the number in front of it is, that proportionality constant. Never mind. I shouldn't have said that. All right. Great. Mike was going to share what a church that is devoted to prayer and individual devoted to prayer would look like.
I think it makes us aware of the needs that are in the church as well as the needs that are being met.
Yes. Now, Joelle could share with you that she and Josh and I, we meet regularly, about every other week or so, to do planning for the campus. And at least three times, she had to remind me to do a prayer at the end of our meeting. So what does that tell you? It's a negative thing. All right, but what does that tell you? Not we. That I forget. So it tells me that this lesson is needed by me, not just by y'all. Okay, got it? I mean, I'm not standing up here as this great, amazing example. I'm telling you that right now. All right? And for me, being mindful of God is something that I struggle with. And in fact, in my master's program, that's one of the things I'm supposed to be working on and getting better at. And, well, I'll just say I've got a long way to go. So I'm not standing here as this amazing, incredible blow-away example. Now, how many of you have had at least one lesson about prayer since you became a Christian? Okay. How many of you have heard at least 10 lessons on prayer since you became a Christian? All right. So you'd think after maybe 14 lessons on prayer, you wouldn't need lessons on prayer anymore because you kind of figure it out. You know what I'm saying? All right, so for those who've been around, for all the kind of crusty people out there, you need another lesson on prayer, and so do I. You know, one time a skeptic was asking a Christian, you know, you hear sermons like, you know, 50, 100 sermons a year. Don't you get tired of sermons? I mean, don't you reach the point where you don't need any sermons anymore? And they challenged you on the face. Can you remember the sermon from 7 weeks ago? Can you remember this? Like, of course, we always say, no, I can't remember. So why'd even bother? You know what the answer was? Well, do you remember what you ate for dinner 7 weeks ago? All right. So what if you stopped eating dinner? You know? All right. So Paul was not ashamed to remind people of some basic stuff. So let's do it. Our main passage is in Colossians chapter 4, okay? It's our main passage tonight. Can you just anticipate all those lessons from the book of John and how much better we're going to know Jesus at the end of this year? Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Oh, man. All right. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. It says, devote yourselves to prayer. Oh, we already had that passage. We didn't really even need to read the Acts 2 passage because it's right there. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so we proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is a prayer both about evangelism and about prayer. And I believe evangelism and prayer are connected. So he says, devote yourselves to prayer. We talked about that. And he says, be watchful and thankful. All right, now, what does being watchful have to do with prayer? And what does, I think what he's talking about is being watchful for opportunities for God's will to be done. I think, you know, in Matthew 6:10, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, is God's will always done? No. No, because there's a lot of sinners out there. And Satan's not exactly on the program here. All right, and so Jesus, in his paradigmatic prayer, he prayed for God's will to be done. And one thing I want us as a church to have is this idea in our minds that God is moving in San Diego. God is doing things in San Diego. He's doing them. If he's not doing it through us, he's doing it through other people, because God's going to move no matter what, you know. If we totally stop preaching the gospel, that does not mean that God would stop working in Bakersfield. All right, but... but at least I said Bakersfield the third time. Maybe after I've been here one full year. Remember when the Chargers moved to L.A. and the announcers, whenever they would always say the San Diego Chargers? It's like that, okay? All right. Well, thank you for pointing that out. I saw him laughing over that. I didn't know what he was laughing about. All right. You know, think about that. In Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching them how to pray, right? Now, had they ever prayed before? They'd been praying all the time. All right, but they were around the ultimate person of God, and so they were open to him teaching them how to pray. Now let's go to 1 Timothy 2:3-4. So what is God's will? Well, that's a whole other thing. We could spend a few weeks on that. But I just want to read one scripture. That's pretty. 1 Timothy, by the way, it's Bakersfield. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. So, I mean, the concept of what is God's will, that's a huge concept. But I got one thing that I know for sure is God's will. Okay? And it's right here in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So I think what Paul's talking about principally, if you go back to Colossians 2, I think he's talking about being watchful for opportunities for people to be affected by God. I think that's probably what he has in mind. You know, let's go back to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Says in verse 3, says, pray for us too that God may open a door for our message. And this is one of the things, I don't know about you, but I pray about this every single day. I pray for God to open a door. All right, and he hasn't done it yet, as in, you know, actually open a door. You know. But, you know what I'm saying. But he's been opening spiritual doors. Thing is, if God opens a spiritual door, in quotes, metaphorically, then what do we need to do? We need to walk through that door, right? So he's saying, being watchful. If we're praying for God to open doors, I believe, then when God opens doors, we'll see it. And we'll walk through it. I just share... Louie and I were in a parking lot, at Starbucks, and there's a guy whose car wouldn't start. Now, I call that an opportunity. Because, you know, I had wimpy jumper cables, all right? But Louis had some good ones. And by golly, we got that guy's car started. His name is Gonzalo. He gave me his phone number. We shared our faith with him. He gave us his phone number. He said, I'll come. He didn't come. So what happens? 4 months later, Jan and Nora and a couple others, they're at a Denny's. And Jan shares her faith with guess who? Gonzalo. Oh. And then Gonzalo comes to church, but he's got a lot of messed up stuff in his life. Okay? Uh-oh, I shouldn't. Well, anyway, everybody does, all right? All right. And then it turns out that Will, who we're studying with, who's close to becoming a Christian, Will, his roommate, is like best friends with guess who? Gonzalo. Oh, okay. So being watchful. You know, I. How about before you walk into your class, just pray for God to open a door.
Amen.
How about when you are sitting in a line, wherever. Mike, he always shares with people. He doesn't know how to stop, but the rest of us, you know, we got to work on it. Yeah, today, you know, I was at the doctor's office, and you know, I shared with the lady. I told her, you know, I'm, you know, all that sort of stuff, and I was talking about, you know, because she's from Burma, and I'd been there, and it's on and on and on. I talked about the church in Bakersfield Church of Christ. You know what I forgot to do? I didn't give her a card. Oh. So what are the chances she's going to come? Zero, because she doesn't know where it is. She doesn't know anything. It's like, you know what? I blew it. Jan's probably going to meet her, but then how's she going to know that it's the same person? Maybe she will. Jan, you need to get sick. Oh, she already is sick. So maybe you need to pray that. Yeah, anyway, if you meet a lady, she's from Myanmar. You'll figure it out right away because her name is obviously from Myanmar. All right? So, and when you pump your gas, you know, how about sharing your faith with somebody when you're pumping your gas? Or how about when you're walking through your neighborhood? All right, how about that opportunity? Okay, there's a lot of opportunities. And we could pray for God's will to be done in other areas, right? For example, we need to get a sister's household going. So we could pray about an opportunity there. We have Luther and probably Oscar and probably Will, all needing a place to live. So, you know, let's pray about those kinds of things. All kinds of things we could be watchful about. And not only should we be watchful, what else should we be, according to this passage? Thankful. Thanking God for what? For the things he hasn't done yet. Okay, in the Jewish sacrificial system, they had this thing called the fellowship offering. And there were three kinds of fellowship offerings. There was fellowship, they're all thank offerings. One was thanking God for things he hadn't done yet. One was thanking him for things that he's going to do in the future. And the third was just thanking him in general, okay? So let's be watchful. Okay, got it? And then we need to be listening. All right? I think that's part of being devoted to prayer. I believe prayer is a two-way thing. I think I might have mentioned this already, that I'm learning to somewhat change my definition of prayer over time. Now, how did you learn how to pray? Okay, your mother? Right, by listening to other people praying. All right, so what's that imply? That praying is talking, right? Right, and so we were trained, all of us, except somebody who's trained by their mom, which is awesome. I don't know exactly what she said. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Just kidding. I'm sure it was awesome. All right, but see, we were trained that praying is talking. But I believe praying is communicating. Let's say like Mike and Yesenia were sitting down and Mike did all the talking. Well, that's what always happens. Oh, just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. All right. Just kidding. All right. But let's say a couple sits down and they're talking, but one of them does all the talking, the other one doesn't say anything. Would you call that communication?
No.
So I believe prayer involves listening. All right? I believe prayer involves listening. Listening to what? Well, I think to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Let's go to Romans 8. I want to help you to change your definition of prayer at least a little bit. Okay. Romans 8. Some of the stuff those Pentecostals talk about, you know, some of that stuff they talk about, because it's, if I can say this without being disrespectful, because of the Pentecostals, I'm going to be like those people, you know what I'm saying? But I think we could learn from those people. I really do. Because they tend to be more aware of the Holy Spirit. Now, whether they even have the Holy Spirit because they're not baptized, well, never mind. I'm not going to worry about that, all right? I'm not going to go into that. I just think we could learn from them. If we could learn from them, then let's learn from them. Okay. Sorry, did I wake you up? All right, sorry. Sorry, did I wake you up? Romans 8, 26 and 27. All right. I think I've already, yes, in the context of the lesson on the Holy Spirit, I already read this scripture, but I'm going to read it again. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray, for the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Let's go to Galatians 5. Since we already read that one, let me go to the next one, Galatians 5. So being devoted to prayer involves praying. I really appreciate Chris's comment. It involves a dedicated time of prayer. For me, it's every morning. I don't necessarily have my reading time in the morning, but I always have my prayer time in the morning. But also kind of that praying continually is sort of that thing. That's that mindfulness. Galatians 5:16. I know I'm going to be accused of leading a Pentecostal church here, but I don't know. It says it right here in the scriptures. Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit. To me, that's part of what it means to be devoted to prayer. Okay? He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. And again, I think being led by the Holy Spirit is part of that prayer. It's an open line of communication which happens if we become more mindful. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say mindful? You know what it's like when you're mindful of your girlfriend or something like that, right? I'm not going to tease certain people right now, but two people were slightly less mindful of things, how that happens, right? You know how that happens, all right? Because that other thing is on the mind. And if God is on our mind, I think we will be walking by the Spirit more than we are now. And I believe we'll be led by the Spirit. Verse 25 of Galatians 5. So it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And as you think about how to apply that scripture to your life, which I don't know exactly how to apply it, honestly, I'm still figuring it out. All right, but I think as we figure that out, keeping step in the Spirit, I believe that involves primarily our prayer life. Okay? And then next, point number three, be expectant. Is that my whole outline? Yeah, be watchful, be listening. Ah! See, I didn't realize that I had these awesome slides here. All right. Be watchful for what? For opportunities. All right, be listening. Yes, and that's a great picture. Yeah. Being watchful. All right, got it. And listening. You know your dog is listening. All you have to do is say treat and you find out they're listening, right? Right? Just like your teenagers. You thought they weren't listening to you and then you mention, you know, whatever, and suddenly they're always listening to you. All right, be expectant. Let's go to Daniel 9. My last point. Be expectant. Not like expectant mother. Be expectant. I've been taking expectorant. All right, be expectant. I'm throwing out these terrible, terrible jokes. I'm glad nobody picked up on them. John 9. I've been accused of just whatever comes to my brain, I say it. So I need to stop doing that. Okay, Daniel 9. I want to use this as another prayer that we can really learn from. There's several things in this prayer of Daniel, but one of the qualities I see in Daniel's prayer is expectancy. In other words, he expected that God would act on his prayers. Okay, Daniel 9, I'll start in verse 4. It says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We've been wicked and have rebelled. We've turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you've scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame. Lord, because we have sinned against you, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we've rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us to his servants, the prophets, and all Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Now, it's going to get better, all right? This is, you know, this is kind of like we're doing Ezekiel stuff here. I mean, but I'm getting to the main point, all right? One thing I see is some humility before expectancy, all right? Humility first, expectancy next. Under the whole heavens, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins, giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disasters on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now he's going to basically get aggressive, in a sense, with God. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Israel with a mighty hand, who made for himself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned and we have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger, your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear our prayers and the petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We have not made requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. You know, Daniel gave glory to God. He confessed the sins of the people. And when he confessed the sins of the people, what pronoun did he use? We, us, are. Had Daniel committed those sins? Not really. But he confessed them anyway. Because it's a family. It's a group. It's you know, if some of us are messing up, we're all messing up. He confessed his sins and the people's sins. And then he reminded God of the promise that he gave. And then he said, God, do it. Galatians says, God says, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. He says, do not be weary in doing good, for you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. You can read that scripture and say, God, give us a harvest. We can be bold with God if we're humble. We can let him know that, in our opinion, he should have answered that prayer already. Don't worry. Lightning will not come out of the sky. All right? We can pray boldly. We can be expectant. He said, Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. I believe we need to be devoted to prayer. Another thing that would be involved being devoted to prayer would be that the brothers and sisters in this church would get together to pray. All right. Well, we did one of those. You know what? I didn't complain about it. But when we did the all-night prayer, we had several college students come. And of all the people that are not college students of the entire church, only one of you came. Okay? So we did an all-night prayer. And we had like 8 or 9 college students. And we had exactly one outside of the college group that came. So, and now, I'm sure of those who didn't come, 2/3 of them had a great reason to not be there. And you're probably that one. And I'm not here to judge anybody, right? We just had our Bible talk about judging, right? On Tuesday, not to judge. I'm not judging. I am not judging. I promise you that. All right? But, you know what? I believe that if we were a church devoted to prayer, we probably would have had more than one. That would have made it, okay? And, you know, we hadn't done all-night prayers before. That was never on our schedule. And, you know, people who are over 30, they need their beauty sleep more than people under 30. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? I don't know. I made it all night. By the way, Jan was, I suppose she was sick. Or, Jan, at 3 o'clock, she, this is cool. She was there till 3. You know what? So I think that if we're going to be devoted to prayer, then it'll be something that it won't have to come from me. It'll be, I don't know, Tony says, hey, guys, let's just have our Bible talk, get together. Now we're not going to do all-night prayers. That's for young people. So we're going to pray from 9 to 12. I don't know. Whatever. So I think group prayer could be an aspect of it. Could you get excited about that?
Yeah.
All right, amen. Now, remember that formula, y equals f of x, all right? So more expectant prayer times a certain factor equals more answered prayer. Okay, y equals f of x. Like, for example, you know, the number of apples equals 5 times the number of, I don't know, apple seeds or something like that. So the number of answered prayers is directly proportional to the number of prayers. All right, got that? And like I said, we have seen some prayers answered this year. We really have. Woo! By the way, I am praying that we have 20 more people at the end of 2020 than we had at the beginning of 2020. All right. So far, I think we've grown by, I think, 12 or 13 this year. We should have at least 2 more baptisms and another restoration. So that's around 15. So if we could grow by 15 when we started with 42, do you think we could grow by 20 if we start with 56?
Yeah.
So let's imagine that. 20 more people. And that includes people who have strayed who are going to come back. That's not just baptisms. All right, so let's start praying about that. All right, we used up our time. I wanted to at least end a little bit early because if people need to go, absolutely go. But we're going to assemble some care packages for the campus students. Look at that, folks. This is our church. This is our church. You know? I promised on Tuesday, I promised the college students, as many come, they're gonna, and I'm telling you, the reason I promised is because I knew y'all would come through. So I'm so proud and so thankful. All right, given that this lesson was about prayer, I think we should answer with a prayer. What do you think? And then we'll, I don't know who's running this thing back there. It just happened. And then we're going to sell some Christmas trees for hope. Father, I'm thankful that you want to hear from us, God. And help us to learn how to pray in new and different ways. Even if we've already been praying for 25 years, you can teach an old dog new tricks. And Father, I pray that we would learn to be watchful. That we'd learn to listen. And that we would expect you to act. God, help us to have the spirit of Daniel, who prayed in abject humility. And at the same time, he prayed boldly. Let us take the advice of Jesus, or I guess we could call it the command of Jesus, which is to pray for your will to be done, Father. I know that your will involves all men and women being saved. And I'm sure not everybody in Bakersfield is going to be saved, but I really believe that at the end of 2020, we could have at least 20 more people that were saved through the work you're doing through us. Father, help us to be men and women of prayer. And God, you know, it's kind of embarrassing sometimes that we have to be reminded to do the most basic thing. But God, you know us. You know we're human. You know that, well, we're human. And God, I'm thankful that you are patient with us. And God, I pray that you would use us in a great way. Thank you in Jesus' name. Are there any, are there any quick prayer requests? I forgot to ask for a prayer request.
Yeah. Yes. Luther's son's in the hospital with Donovan.
Luther's son. That's why he's not here tonight? Okay, great.
My good friend Shelly, her son, has a tumor in his brain.
All right. Shelly?
Shelly. Okay. His name is Catherine.
All right. I'm going to have trouble remembering all these. All right. How about this? Let's do 1 minute each. Dara, could you do Luther and? Yeah, could you come on up for us? Luther and?
Cassidy.
And let's see. Blaine, could you do?
Oh, yeah. Kyle from the Blessed Box.
Okay, and? Okay, two coworkers lost their parent. Okay, good. Let's just pray for a minute or so for each of us. Go ahead, Dar. Thanks. Yeah.
What's your name again?
Oh, one more prayer request from Egypt that Blaine's going to take.
How many I got?
Two coworkers.
The college students taking finals.
College students take. Oh, you got this.
Right. Okay, great. Let's go.
Luther, right now, Father God, they both have very difficult situations going on. Although I heard the information very quickly, I just know that you know all the details very, very much. Mm-hmm. And we want to ask with all our hearts, God, that you would just hear us right now and bless their situations very, very soon. Help and be with those that are around them, comfort them, and I just pray that more and more. Thank you so much for this time to pray for them both, and we pray this all in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, thank you so much for having me here tonight. Father, I really want to just pray for the next co-workers who lost their parents. Father, just really pray that you're with them. Put your hand upon them. Ease their pain, Father. Just let them know that you're there to be with them, Father. I also want to pray for Kyle. Father, just be with them. Really, just put your hand upon them also. Father, goes to this time. Just be with them, Father. I know that you are a loving and caring God. Father, when we ask things of you, we really do